And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Stinky!
Good morning, sweet world! And welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, January 3rd, 2024. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this one's for you!
Next to him, it's the bearded one, Matasha Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! And over yonder, the man making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is! And here we are, shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button, subscribe, comment away. Podcast listeners, leave us a five-star rating and review. And hey, get your comments and questions in across all of our social media platforms, because you never know when the boys are going to step on the beach. Not today. But maybe tomorrow. So get your questions in, comments about the NBA, non-NBA questions. You can leave them in the YouTube comments. You can tweet them in at No Dunks Inc. Hit us up on Instagram, TikTok. Can you do it on TikTok?
You can probably send us a question somehow on TikTok.
I'm not checking that often. I don't know about you guys. So don't do it on TikTok.
I also don't know how we would get it from TikTok to the show. That part is confusing, but we can figure it out. I would love to see a video message, though, from somebody. You know, roll it in.
Oh, I like love we're a good a call video
from, from the world out there.
NoDunks@theAthletic.com. You can easily email in a video message. Keep it short. Keep it tight. don't ramble on. Yeah. Don't be a skeezy about it.
And let us know on another platform that you did one on another platform. Because sometimes I get direct videos on Instagram and I just don't check them every 24 hours. Then I go to that direct message. Poof,
it's gone. Yeah.
There it goes.
Yeah.
They do it really well.
And you were asking him after the show yesterday, hey, are you on Threads?
Yeah, thread it.
You want to thread it in?
Everybody thread it.
I'll get
it. Don't TikTok us. Thread it.
All right. We'll probably hit the beach tomorrow is the whole point of that. All right? So get your questions in. We have a lot of fun later in this show. We're going to do fill in the blank when it comes to like trade rumors and trade talk and who should be buyers and sellers at the trade deadline. But some good games on last night.
Absolutely.
Some blowouts as well. But the big one that everybody's talking about here, I hope it's leading all of those you know, sports debate shows. It should be, is SGA scoring 36 points as the Thunder top the league-leading Celtics for their fifth straight win. And it does feel, to put myself in the producer role of those sports debate shows, Trey Kirby, two questions coming out of this. Is OKC the best team in the league right now? And, possibly, where is SGA on the MVP rankings? How high does he go? Because this is a really, really fun game. Great win. We watched it on playback. But what do you think to those to those two questions, really?
I think the Thunder are good.
Okay.
I'll say that.
That's not a hot take.
I'll say that. Also, Skeets, I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is pretty good.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, coming with all heaters today. The question is, are the Thunder title contenders? And to that I say, put them in that tier, at the very bottom of that tier, because we got to see something.
Yeah.
They haven't won a playoff series together.
Yeah.
But they're still one of the best teams in the league. They're top five on both sides of the ball. They've got an MVP candidate in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is in the early part of the prime of his career and has a game that will seemingly translate well to the biggest moments in the playoffs.
Good point. He's good
at getting to the line for the most part. Though even if the grifting doesn't come through, he's great in the mid-range. Got to make contested mid-range jumpers in the playoff, and Shai has definitely got that. I saw that he's now up to third on Basketball Reference's MVP tracker. So I think at worst, he's third in the MVP rankings right now. It's hard for him, I think, at this point to jump Joel Embiid, who had a 30-point triple-double in three quarters last night, and also Nikola Jokic, who has missed three shots in the past week. The guy's putting up great numbers as well. Shai obviously is the MVP for this Thunder team, and he looked like it last night. So I think with the way he's playing, he's got to be an MVP candidate. And I think with the way the Thunder are playing, you at least got to put him in the upper echelon of teams in the NBA.
You agree with that?
They belong in that contender status. I do think, you know, with their net differential being the highest in the Western Conference, you look at them and you say, well, they're the best team in the West. But those other teams have been in the postseason, I think, are saving it a little bit for the postseason. But OKC is just doing it each and every game. So it makes them a contender. Sure. Yeah. We just got to see them there. And the reason why I say they're that good in the regular season, because they perform on both ends. And when you watch this team and you think, okay, well, Shea can go off for 35 or whatever. But because they are top five in offense and defense, every guy contributes. Mm-hmm. Every single guy in every single way. That's what makes it fun. Like watching Chet Holmgren last night block Jason Tatum twice, that was awesome. Then he blocked Kristaps Porzingis in a standing position. He didn't jump. He's pretty smart in that he doesn't jump everywhere and that he can box out everywhere. They're just smart on both sides. You got Cason Wallace coming in. He's a 6'3 guard, but he'll grab you that offensive rebound like he did last night. Then he'll foul Jason Tatum at the end of the first quarter when Mark Dignall said, you know what, I'm going to challenge that. And I like that they're fighting for their coach as well. I think the rest of the
that almost
three
came
quarters,
back to bite them in the ass a couple times.
A little bit, yeah, sure. But everybody's fighting. Kenrich Williams got a nickname called Kenny Hustle. I don't know about that. But anyways, everybody was hitting threes in this game. They could do it on both ends, every single guy. Every single guy. And obviously offensively, I mean, I think they got a little lucky in this game with everybody just splashing. They're literally just splashing. Giddy hit four. Chet hit three. Shea hit three, tying his season high. He's shooting the three a little bit more this year than last year. J-Dub hit a couple, hit that big shot from the middle of the lane. Put him in the status. Put him in that conversation. I don't see what's wrong with that. When you see basically 1 through 9, 1 through 10, they all are good. Every single one of them. We can go through the entire roster.
Yeah, and this just isn't one big statement win over the Celtics last night. You go, over the past 2 weeks, SGA's Thunder have beaten Jokic's Nuggets twice in Denver, once SGA with the game winner, the second game with the 40 burger. So that could maybe have some people bumping SGA ahead of Jokic in an MVP rankings right now, but I'm with you. It's probably Embiid, Jokic, and then SGA. And then OKC beat the Wolves the day after Christmas, and then obviously the Celtics there on Tuesday night. So you look at that, zoom out, the Thunder just went 4-0 versus the defending champs and the top seeds in either conference. So this is a hell of a run they're on, and you're right. It was SGA, but it was Holmgren chipping in. It was Giddy with his most, you know, explosive offensive game of the season. Season high 23 points. This is a guy that doesn't, you know, usually go for those type of numbers. And they held on in the end because it was a fun sequence at the end. Derek White hit that moonshot three-pointer in the corner with about 40 seconds to go. That cut the lead to 2. But then you said it there, Tass. J-Dub. He responded with a grown-ass take against Tatum. TK and I on playback were going nuts. Like, Tatum's a big dude, and he just sort of put his shoulder into him. He bounced back a little bit and hit that little sort of jumper floater there in the lane.
That's
great
his spot.
Answer.
That's where he hits shots from.
He didn't even have J-Dub a great game, but he sort of stepped up in the fourth quarter when it got close. And then Porzingis hit that, you know, I was going to say 3 in the left corner with about 4 seconds to go, but it was called a 2. The official was all over that one, man. He was like, that's a two. He was like, going nuts about it.
Let me go prove it.
Yeah, and then they looked at it. It didn't take long because he was on the line. It wasn't a LeBron situation here.
No, they got that one right.
But a good entertaining ending because OKC looked like they were going to run away with this one. They were up 18 points with like, I don't know, about 8 minutes or so to go. And Boston, because they're so good, got back into this game. I just couldn't believe the offensive execution from both teams. These are good defensive teams. Like, they switch a lot. They got a lot of great guys that can play you one-on-one. They're obviously talking out there. And it didn't matter on this night. Like, 33 and 34 assists for Boston and OKC, respectively, in this game. And if you watched it, you're like, holy crap, yeah, they're good. They share the ball, man, and these guys can score. It was fun. Fun.
Yeah, it was fun. But I'm with Tess. I do think the Thunder, like, this was a great game for the Thunder to get 4 threes from Giddy, who was shooting wide open shots every single time. He's only hit 4 threes twice so far this season. Shea, like you're saying, hit 3. He's only hit 3 threes in a game 3 times this season. The Thunder ended up hitting 18. That was the 8th time this season they've hit that many. It was kind of a fluky night shooting-wise for the Thunder, but that was also the game plan for the Celtics. Like, they were happy to let Giddy shoot. They were happy to go under screens from Shea and let him pop threes. But the Thunder made him pay, which I thought was huge. And then Chet, I thought, was awesome. This guy has got the clutch gene already in year 1.5, whatever you want to call it. He made 2 big threes late in the fourth quarter. I think probably only one of them goes down as a clutch shot because it was like a 6-point game when he made it. Nonetheless, So far this season, Chet is 57% from the field and 44% from three in clutch situations. And they've played quite a few of them. He obviously hit that big shot against the Warriors earlier this season. And then, that take by Jalen Williams, that was really nice, especially on Tatum, because Tatum locked down Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in the fourth quarter. No made shots for Shai in the fourth. Got to the line, made three free throws. And some of those were including, like, foul situations right at the end. But that's why Jalen Williams started taking over. And then on that last shot, Tatum was out on Williams, and he just bumped him out of the way. Those are two big wings at this point. That was a really, really impressive shot. But, yeah, we got to just bind Kristaps Porzingis' feet. These toes, man. These toes are getting in the way. He said he was nervous shooting it from the corner. He's like, when I shoot, I take a big step with my right foot. Took a big step with his right foot, and it was right there.
That's right. He was behind the line when he got the ball, and if he had just gone straight up, I mean, it's a three-pointer, but yeah, he takes that one step forward, and he's clearly on the line. We were debating last night if there's a way for guys to start painting their shoes to make it look like the court. So it looks like they're always behind the line.
So painted brown.
Yeah, yeah, brown beige. Shoes. Who had the brown shoes? Jamal Murray at one point?
Jamal Murray wore brown shoes, yeah.
Anyway, you got to try to get creative here to trick the referees when you're on the line. But, yeah, he was well over it. Yeah,
for sure. But I love how Kristaps, even though he wasn't going to guard Chet Holmgren at the three-point line every single possession, Chet would just step into threes. The thing about OKC and why you can put them in the contender status is because they're so confident on every possession. Mm-hmm. Like, Chet gets the three-point shot with 18, 19 left on the shot clock. You'd think, okay, let's rotate the ball a little bit. But he just stepped into every single three he took early in the possession, and it looked so good. And Jalen Williams didn't look amazing throughout the game.
No.
But that is his home just inside the free throw line. So that's how confident they are, fourth quarter, to be doing it like that. And then, you know, the other Jalen Williams obviously hitting shots too. So everybody splashing. And yeah, the Celtics, this was the difference. They both took 43s last night, each team. One hit 18, one hit 15. They're both damn good. And so you're playing at OKC. They won the game. Going to Boston, that would probably have home court advantage. They'd probably win that game. But it's just a damn good team.
It'll be a fun finals matchup if it somehow happens, you know, this year or moving forward. The other reason the Celtics lost is Jaylen Brown was garbage. 4 of 18.
Right.
0 of 8 from 3. Now, he did score in the fourth quarter. He sort of was doing sort of what J-Dub did there for OKC, but he had some brutal turnovers as well. It was just a really bad Jaylen Brown game. And then Drew Holiday, too, to the point where he wasn't even out there for the final 5 minutes. Joe Mazzulla sort of going away from him. So despite their two starters playing poorly, they've still almost pulled this off with the way Porzingis played, especially in the first half, and then Tatum as a superstar he is for Boston. Other funny note from this game, did you guys catch Jalen Williams, the big Jalen Williams, and Trey Mann, I believe it was, with a very weird two-man clap on the bench? It was late in the game, and you could see them here in the background doing, and they'll commit to it here, yes, as they double clap. One man on top and one man on the bottom there. And I don't know if they've practiced this before, if it happened just naturally there.
I think they were freestyling in the forest, because I think what happened was perhaps it was Giddy got subbed out. Trey Mann is asking for the high five, but no court awareness. Didn't see it, so Jalen Williams had to go in. Just gave him a couple slaps to start, but then they're like, this is kind of funny.
for it. Good stuff. Anything else from the Thunder Celtics?
Well, yeah, you guys were on playback for the group watch.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little too tired to join, but I was even getting excited watching this game because, number one, it was just great. But every close-up on the fans in that arena in OKC, you could see, first of all, they're just jumping up.
But playoff-like atmosphere, for
it
sure.
It was.
Yeah.
But they're also screaming, let's go!
Every player. Every guy, at least. Yeah,
every guy. Didn't matter the age. Even if you're 50, 60, I saw a dad with his son, I think, yelling, let's go! And that's got me saying it. I didn't say it for a long time, but I'm in it.
Saying, let's go?
Yeah, until that
last
moment.
Until now.
And I was a little too tired. Yeah, that's what people say all the time.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I'm in.
We were joking that every shot of the crowd in OKC was a bearded man screaming "Let's go!" or going "Ah!" like that. Like, they have so many bearded dudes in OKC that are pumped and they were into it. And how can you blame them? Because they got the win there.
They switched to it. They switched to it, which is nice. Sometimes you don't get good fan shots.
Oh, yeah.
They do it a lot.
They were committed. They were committed there on OKC. Okay, let's move over to Joel Embiid. He returned to action, picked up his 7th career triple-double in the 76ers demolishing of the Chicago Bulls. The revenge here for Embiid and the Sixers. 31 points, 15 boards, 10 assists, and you said it already, Trey, through 3 quarters. And he's probably still your MVP front runner here. Though he's missed how many games? You got to play.
He missed a few right now.
Yeah, he's still good. He's still good. Like he's still good, but, under. You know, one or two injuries. Yeah. Then it gets a little dicey. But anyway, any notes from this one, which was over after the first quarter when it was 43-18?
Yeah, this one was Jolver. By the time I turned it on, it was 25-8. I was like, well, good game. 31-point lead at halftime, like you're saying, Skeets. I know the Bulls missed their first 13 threes. Ooh. They finished 2-for-19 in the first half. Meanwhile, Philadelphia shot 10 for 20 from three in the first half. So, yes, Embiid was dominating, but also all the role players were hitting threes. Yeah. And, you know, shout out to Embiid. I thought he played a really smart game. Drummond was not able to handle Embiid one-on-one despite the bulk. So a lot of double teams, and Embiid was just finding guys out of the double teams, and they were hitting the shots to make the Bulls pay. So exactly what you want to see from Joel Embiid. Returning from a little bit of an absence. I think he hadn't played in like 11 days or something like that. Didn't look rusty, but he did look sweaty. At one point, they had to like call in a towel. They're like, give him a towel, and we need one on the floor. Because he was just like bent over at the free throw line. Dripping sweat. Pouring sweat. Complete Ewing mode for this guy. And then there was another clip of him just snacking on a Jolly Rancher mid-game.
Snacking on a Jolly Rancher.
Like unrolling it, throw it off to the side. He was a sour apple in my candy bowl last night, I'll tell you that much.
What did you think?
Yeah, I was thinking that he had a Jolly Rancher while he was playing basketball. I thought, is that dangerous? You know, that was like a hard square.
Could choke on that.
You got to choke on that? Sure. Also, I think players sweat the most the game after New Year's.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So do I.
It needs to be measured, but... Somebody, you know, John Schumann, our man, let's go to the stats.
Oh, wow.
100%.
You want, 100%. Like, almost like bucket collection of sweat? We got to weigh it or something?
Yeah.
What's that job?
Yeah, like a rain barrel, like something, you know, to indicate how much.
I don't mind it. Like, in F1, they do the race and then they have to weigh in afterwards to see, to make sure they didn't lose too much weight.
Oh, wow.
They should do this in the NBA.
Yeah.
And yeah, not only after New Year's, but like Trey said, Embiid was off for, you know, 10, 11 days here over the holiday break. He's going to be sweating hardcore when he plays that game last night. But he only had to play 3 quarters. Statitudes noted today that over his last 25 games, okay, that's a pretty good sample size there, Embiid is averaging 35.2 points per game, 12 boards, and 6.2 assists, shooting 54% from the field and a cool 90% from the free throw line. He's just the 4th player in NBA history to average 35 points per game, 10 boards, and 5 assists over a 25-game span. Oscar Robertson, Wilt Chamberlain, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and now Embiid. That really does put into perspective just the monster numbers this guy is putting up this year.
You want another stat?
Sure.
I saw that this was Embiid's 14th straight 30-point, 10-rebound game.
Jesus.
Only one other player has had as many as 15. It's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He had 16 straight games of 30 points and at least 10 rebounds. Next 2 games for Embiid, the Knicks, they've got some size. So, I mean, maybe the rebounding would be a problem, or if he gets into foul trouble. And then after that, it's the Jazz, which is a guaranteed 30 points and 10 rebounds.
Yeah.
So we might be seeing some Kareem records fall.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And just back to the 3-point shooting there for your Bulls. 7-36 last night. You said they missed their first 13. I was looking at it because we were talking about it on playback. The game before that for the Bulls, 7-25 from 3, though they won against the Embiidless Sixers. Game before that, in a loss to the Pacers, 7-27 from deep. Game before that, in a win over the Hawks, 7-25. Trey Kirby in attendance, I do believe, for that game. Game before that, in a loss to the Cavs, 8-35. Game before that, in a win versus the Spurs, 7-28. You got to go all the way back to December 20th for a game in which the Bulls hit over 10 three-pointers. We regularly see teams hit 10 three-pointers in, like, you know, 25 minutes of action.
Sixers did it last night in the first half.
Yeah, right. So, you know, like, 7-36, 7-25, 7-27, 7-25, 8-35, 7-28. Now, some of those they win. That's the crazy part. But, wow. I know we're going to get to talking trades here later. I wonder if there's any trades that involve the Bulls maybe getting some three-point shooting to help them out.
You tell me the Bulls are buyers? B.A.B.? Bulls are buyers?
They could be sellers with some guys, but I think they should get some three-point shooting because Coby White has gone ice cold.
3 for his last 31 in the last 5 games, yeah. Skeets. Yeah. Not great for the All-Star push.
No, or really MIP as well there, but okay.
Yeah. Well, Zach LaVine may be coming back very, very soon to help out on the three-point shooting. But Caruso doesn't do that kind of thing. But he had a beautiful pass through Joel Embiid's legs in this one. That was nice.
Also try to take a charge on Embiid down 29.
Jeez,
you
got to respect that.
You got to respect it.
Jesus.
I know
we're questioning it. What are you doing?
We went through all the Joel Embiid stats. Fantastic stuff. 32, 15, and 10 in this one. Although the 10th assist was a rebound, and then he led Tobias Harris with a pass to midcourt, which is a nice pass. Like, he led him, and then Tobias Harris dribble. He does a Euro step and scores, and that's his 10th assist.
Took that one away, and then he got another one.
Really?
Yes, because they were going nuts on the broadcast about that being his the one you're saying. They did first say it was an assist, and then I think that one got a... That one got removed.
I don't know about that. I saw it on the .com
because he had an assist
the
after.
NBA.com, did he?
Yeah. So one of them got removed.
Well, here we go.
Because he doesn't have an 11 assist.
Here we go.
Yeah.
We'll have
to do a deep dive on that one.
This is easy to find out.
Okay,
so
here we go. He's looking at it. He's got the box score video.
The last one says Harris, 1 foot running duck.
Play it.
No, that was the no look.
Yeah, that wasn't the fast break one.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
here we go.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's
an
assist.
That's a quality assist.
So I think they took away that one you were getting upset. You were getting upset about, and so was the broadcast.
It wasn't a 10th assist. It wasn't an assist, but they gave him an assist. Okay, well, that's good.
There we go.
By everybody.
Good job, Silver.
But hold on. NBA.com and their stories, you know, they have their Instagram stories.
Yeah.
They look like Instagram stories,
but they're
just stories.
Yeah,
well, that's still their 10th assist. So let's change it up. Take it off.
I know.
Who cares? Moving on.
Hey, get this guy on the Bulls. He can hit some three-pointers. Steph Curry scored 36 points.
Is that a rumor?
That's a rumor I'm starting right now. Bulls are interested in Steph Curry.
Okay. I don't know if I would give up LaVine, but it's a tough call.
Maybe if the Warriors throw in a pick or two. Curry scored 36 points to lead the Warriors past the Magic. 121-115. This is really... one of the other games from last night that was sort of close. I mean, the Kings freaking lost to the Hornets. I'll say something about them in a second. But anyway, thoughts on the Warriors?
Well, this was a good game because it went down the last few minutes as a close game. There was lots of them going on. But they needed lots of good efforts from different guys in the starting lineup. They sat Brandon Podziemski, who sat a couple games. Chris Paul is starting, you know, beside Steph Curry, against a giant team. So they needed their giants to do some things. Just to get Curry to that fourth quarter where he finally had a good game. It's been a while since we've had a great Klay game, but Klay was guarding Paolo Banchero, just throwing that body around, and Trayce Jackson-Davis and Jonathan Kuminga starting in the 4-5. Now, the Magic, they can always offensive board. So they had more offensive boards than those two guys. But those two guys, big couple blocks, playing really hard. GP the second came out, played as well. We got hurt as well.
Yeah, he's hurt again.
Yeah, other calf. Right calf for a month, now the left calf is hurt. So they'll be making some trades potentially. But all those guys got Steph to the last few minutes where he did it all.
Yep.
He had some great shots there where he drove in and scored. He slapped Jalen Suggs in the face by accident, I guess. But it was interesting to see him being guarded by Jalen Suggs and just going off 10 points in the fourth quarter. That's all they really needed until the last couple minutes. And he got it done. And this is an interesting time because this is the Warriors' losing streak. Now they go play Denver, where they've lost 5 straight games to Denver on Thursday. So this is a time where they got to get things back a little bit. They got lots going on. Draymond Green hasn't been around the team at all, which is probably good, doing his thing. He hasn't been around them once since he was suspended, but he was at a LeBron party. This is the time because of the way the Western Conference standings shake out. They got to win games. They're now in 11th spot. after having a win, because they're below 500, they just have to get some wins, and Steph Curry has to get a headband, I think. Steph's been around forever, but more sweat happened. He went back in the fourth quarter on a defensive possession and just took his jersey and wiped his forehead. Mm-hmm. And as that happened, and nothing bad happened to him, but it could, if you start wiping your face with your jersey, you could be, you know, blindsided. You could have your head, you could not be guarding the guy you're supposed to be guarding. So all I'm trying to say
you
is...
You want to get him in a headband.
Yeah, you want to play every single possession hard because this team is teeny tiny. I do like that they're starting Trayce Jackson-Davis over Kevon Looney, who had a bad game in this one. They're starting the young guys. They're making the change. They're pulling the plug a little bit on the veteran way of doing things. Mm-hmm. Not all the way. Trading Clay. They're not trading Steph. And I don't think they're trading Dre either. But this is a tough time. And this was a tough win. But they did it, obviously.
Yeah, Curry scored or set up 13 straight Warriors points in like a four-minute stretch in the fourth quarter. You said he kept like attacking and like having his little... you know, high finishes off the glass in traffic. So he drove to put Golden State up four. Then he hit a step back three on the next possession to make it 104-97. Poor Goga didn't stand a chance. As soon as that matchup happened, it was like, got the cross switch and it was like, uh-oh. So he hit the three. And then Curry had two assists. Really nice play where, because Clay is such a threat to obviously shoot from outside, there was some confusion with the Magic and he just cut back door. Curry, I thought, had a beautiful dime. You know, Suggs with his hands down. I mean, he's trying to defend Curry and worry about the shot. Great pass to Clay, easy basket inside. And then he threw ahead that pass to Kuminga, I guess it was, who dunked it home. It was like, I think it was Paolo that went in there. Clay sort of stood him up. So he was trying to take a charge almost. Anyway, Curry picked it up, threw it ahead. And that gave him a big enough lead that they held on. But, you know, it's all Curry down the end.
Yeah, I like the games for the Warriors when it's Steph and Clay carrying them home, and that's exactly what this was. They hit a couple of threes, 5 for 7 from the field, 15 points in the fourth quarter, and like you're saying, it was just Steph orchestrating everything. Sorry to Gogo Bitadze, he had a great game. Didn't miss a shot, but I don't think he's locking down Steph out on the perimeter. I think Kuminga's been pretty solid, actually, especially since Draymond's suspension. I guess the Warriors are 6-4 now. With Draymond missing time, and Kuminga has kind of like found his footing in the starting lineup since Draymond went out. The athleticism he gives them, the defensive competitiveness, I think has upped a level. He's been hitting the boards. I thought he was pretty good, but he ain't no Franz Wagner. That guy is really good. 25 points last night, 10 for 19 from the field, 6 boards, 3 assists, 2 steals. Like you said, Clay was guarding Boncaro, was doing a pretty good job, made it tough on Paolo. Mm-hmm. He got hot there right in garbage time to really save his stat line, but I thought Wagner was kind of unstoppable going to the hole all night.
Yeah, as the second biggest guy that could handle, the Warriors weren't able to guard him, but Kuminga has done a good job. I think the worrisome part was Kuminga sort of complaining about minutes. He was in a press conference where he said, I want to play more minutes. I would like to play more. And then he got inserted to the starting lineup. Maybe he's going to shoot too much, but he's not. He's playing hard, as you said, 2 block shots in this game. He comes through so far for this Warriors team.
And just to put a button on Steph, he leads the NBA in clutch points with 99 and minutes played in the clutch, almost 77. He's hit 16 three-pointers in the clutch, shooting a cool 48.5% from deep. Again, in clutch situations, and he's missed 1 free throw, 25 of 26 at the line. So, yeah, he's not a bad closer to have on your team.
Did you think that was a Home Alone reference when he was laying at half court? I guess that was at the end of the second quarter, right?
When he got fouled on the 4-point play. Yeah, he's done that before,
I
feel
like.
Yeah, I always think that's what he's doing.
It felt Home Alone to me because of the season, you know?
Sure.
Big shout out to our guy, Kevin. Thanks for watching.
Other games, let me just throw the 3 of them at you. Ja Morant dunked on Wembanyama. Sort of. Yes, I guess.
Officially, yes, he dunked on him. He'll have a better one on Victor Wembanyama at some point in his career.
I agree with that. As the Grizzlies pulled away from the Spurs, 106-98, the Pelicans rolled wire-to-wire, lopsided victory over the Nets, and Terry Rozier scored 34. He returned from illness as the Hornets beat the Kings 111-104 to snap an 11-game skid. Sacramento, you just disappoint me, man. Every time I come on this show and I talk you up and I get behind you, you just turn around and lay a stinker. Sabonis, brutal, 11 turnovers. I mean, they just coughed the ball
over. Wow, they had 11 turnovers?
Left and right. Oh, yeah. They had over 20 as a team. They didn't deserve to win.
Much.
But any thoughts from any of those 3 games there?
Yeah, watching the last 4 minutes of that Kings game where they thought they were going to win, but they gave it away sort of at the end. I was thinking, as we were talking about trades a little later, are they going to be a buyer? Are they going to get bigger? Mm. It'd be nice if they got a little bit bigger on the court. As far as the Ja Morant dunking on Victor Wembanyama, that was awesome because Wembanyama was on his feet. He didn't jump at all.
Yes, true.
And he had his hand up, and he sort of challenged Ja Morant's dunk because he's 7'5", and his hand up is like 10 feet. But he didn't jump right. at all.
No.
If he jumps it, he blocks it, I think.
But possibly, yeah. I mean, Ja sort of went half. Around.
Yeah, he packed him off the backboard.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Just do it. But it was cool to see Ja do that. And do the pat afterwards, like, yeah, I just dunked on a guy, so he pats his head.
He did look happy.
And he looked happy, and Grizzlies fans got to pat their heads immediately after. They just copied him. But they are 5-2 since Ja has come back. The Victor Wembanyama 1-foot 3-point shot.
Oh, Jesus.
Bank job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that thing went.
Yeah, hit double rim, bank, in.
Yeah.
I mean, a one-legged three-pointer.
Looked hilarious.
I thought that was at the end of a shot clock. But
I know.
Like,
no, it was like 10 seconds. Yeah, exactly.
No,
you're like, I'm just going to shoot this. That dunk that Ja Morant's saying on the head, that's too far. That's where I mean. That's not on his head. It's not.
It's on his wrists.
Not as cool.
For sure.
But I'm with you. He's going to have a better one and good. And Wembanyama is going to challenge him better, and he's going to get him, and he's going to get got, and that's what we want.
But the crossover was sick.
Yes.
I thought the crossover was even smoother.
Yeah.
True. Then he got a shout out to take over Terry. He was great.
Terry
Rozier. Terry Rozier. Kings could not get a stop.
No.
And Fox was rolling until he finally had a little bit of a clutch problem. A bad turnover, and he actually missed the shot. It was weird to see.
Yes, yes. Man. So good on the Hornets, though, snapping that 11-game skid, which we just addressed on yesterday's podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, let's move to a little fill-in-the-blank fun here. Yeah, fill-in-the-blank, and it is sort of, you know, trade talk-centric. So the first one, let's start with you here, Tess. Biggest player to be traded, you know, as we move towards the deadline, we're like, what, 5-6 weeks away, will be blank.
Biggest as in height? What a stupid joke that was. Biggest player to be traded, it's going to be Zach LaVine.
Okay.
I think the weird place that he may go would be the Miami Heat. What? That sounds very weird, but they almost went and got Damian Lillard in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Jimmy's 34. It's time to go for it, baby. He's getting a little bit older. I think they would need they need some help scoring. They've got an incredible defense. Not a problem. But I think it'll be a little shocking, but I think they could give up. Here's my trade. It worked last night. Tyler Hero, Caleb Martin. They already have Jaime Jaquez. He's a new Caleb Martin. Nikola Jovic.
Yeah.
And a 2027 first round pick. That's enough
for Zach LaVine.
I
mean,
and I think the interesting part is because there's going to be so many buyers, I should say, because there's just not a lot of bad teams. So I don't think there's going to be enough teams selling. So I just don't think you're going to get as much as we've talked about before with every single guy that's gotten multiple draft picks: Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert. DeJounte Murray. Ain't going to happen. So Zach is going to be starting with Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Jaime Jaquez, I think, and then whoever the fifth is, if it's Haywood Highsmith. I always think the Lakers, as I talked about last night, are going to go get Zach LaVine, which definitely could happen. But do they have enough talent to go get him, to trade for him? I think the Heat may have a little bit more because the Lakers aren't offering a lot unless they want to offer Austin, which I don't think they will, but maybe. Maybe they would.
It's an interesting trade, and it doesn't sound like a bad return for a team like the Bulls when it comes to Zach LaVine, where he is obviously not playing. Like, they're doing better without him, though he might return this Friday. Is that what they're saying?
Hey, he's been practicing with the Windy City Bulls.
There you go. I was going to say, one issue, though, is like the Heat. I mean, they're good.
They're 19 and 14.
They've been missing guys. Like, Butler was out for a while. Bam was out for a while. Hero was obviously out for a while to start. And they're, like, right here in the mix. And nobody wants to play them come playoff time because of the Jimmy factor. So it's like, but all that said, you know, we know Riley will go big name hunting. And if he sees it, he's going to take a stab at it possibly. But I don't know. Maybe they're just too good. If they're 14 and 19, absolutely I could see them doing something like that. But I don't know. Maybe they don't rock the boat here with all these guys contributing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's basically the Damian Lillard package. And that didn't get it done, but LaVine is not on the level of Damian Lillard. Mm-hmm. I think the Lakers is more likely.
You think so?
For LaVine because of the struggle factor. You know, they are 23rd, 24th in offense. I didn't check the standings today to see where they're at particularly, but down at the bottom, and it's a lot because of three-point shooting. That's something that LaVine could help for. He obviously played college ball in L.A. He's a clutch guy, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And the fact that the Lakers are at 500, whereas the Heat are exceeding expectations or at least getting back to the level that they were the past couple of seasons. So, I don't know. LaVine is definitely in the mix, but who's more likely, Siakam or LaVine? Because every time I get on Twitter.com first thing in the morning, trending, Siakam, LaVine, DeJounte Murray.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Yeah.
I don't know about DeJounte Murray. But who's more likely, LaVine or Siakam?
I would say LaVine. Mainly because the Bulls have proven they're pretty good without him. Or are doing just fine. What are they, 10-7, I think, now without him in the lineup? And, I mean, why wouldn't you try and move for younger pieces or draft picks or another quality player that fits a bit better? Or shooters, like I said. I mean, I know Zach LaVine is a decent three-point shooter, but really needs the ball in his hands and stuff like that. I think LaVine I would have above Siakam and DeJounte Murray when it comes to likelihood of being traded this deadline.
Probably
sure.
So.
Yeah. Do you have another name? Big name?
Oh, I was just going to say, who is going to be the tallest player to be traded?
Oh, good question.
Height.
The Heat could Robert Williams? Could Time Lord be traded?
Yeah, hurt, I wrote him down. He's always hurt.
Yeah.
With the Blazers. So he probably can't get much for him.
Capella?
I got Jared Allen and Clint Capella, contenders for biggest height-wise player to be played, traded.
What about size-wise, what about Kenneth Lofton?
He just moved teams.
It's true. Unlikely.
Not a trade, yeah.
The biggest names traded last deadline, Mavericks traded Kyrie Irving.
Big one.
For him, excuse me, on February 6th. Then the Suns traded for Durant a couple days later in a big four-team deal.
Mm-hmm.
And we also had the Lakers, Wolves, and Jazz swapping point guards in the Westbrook, Conley, D'Angelo Russell sort of, moving around there. So those are probably the biggest names. I was just looking at last year's deadline as you built up to that. But we'll see if Zach LaVine or Siakam or something like that is the big name this year. Let's go to the next one, though. Most surprising player to be traded will be blank. You start us off here.
The player I'd be most surprised at is Donovan Mitchell. The Cavs have not met expectations yet. They're 18 and 15, eighth in the Eastern Conference. But you are seeing a little bit of Mitchell buzz. Everybody assumes that he's going to go to one of the New York teams when his time in Cleveland is done, but I don't see them cutting bait with him and forcing him to move on. I think they'd rather play it out and maybe try something different. The coach is probably the first thing that they change, to be quite honest, just because that's how it usually goes. But then, like I said, I think Jared Allen is probably in the mix. It just doesn't seem to make sense that you're going to be able to play two big guys and two small guards at all times. And that's how the Cavs are built right now. Maybe it makes a little bit more sense to swap Jared Allen out for some wings. I don't know. Obviously, there's some Nets trades that make sense for Donovan Mitchell. But I think that the players that the Cavs are going to want back, Mikal Bridges in particular, that's why Donovan Mitchell would want to go to the Nets, to play alongside that guy. So maybe some smaller trades between those teams make sense. But I don't think Mitchell will get traded, but I would not be surprised if it's Jared Allen.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they feel good enough from game to game. Like, all this Donovan Mitchell conversation started because they didn't look all that good. They just seemed like they were going for it by trading so many draft picks for Donovan Mitchell, and it looked like they were worse than last year's team. But I think even these injuries to Mobley and to Garland kind of helps them in a weird way, because they are looking at the future and saying, okay, we're going to give this team one more shot at least when these guys get healthy. So I don't think they make the move. And watching them from game to game, they do look good, but sometimes they lose. But at the same time, it's kind of an excuse. You don't have Garland, you don't have Mobley until the All-Star break. So you pull the plug now on something that you gave up a billion draft picks for last year, and you had only one chance at it in the playoffs. I think it would be early to do that. That's why I don't think these other guys like Allen, Jared Allen, I don't think will be the tallest guy traded. I think they are going to keep him around. But sometimes it doesn't make sense. In the playoffs, they were bad. I mean, they couldn't score.
Yeah, period. It's not like Mitchell is like Siakam, where he's coming up on free agency, right? I mean, he is under contract, obviously this season and next season, and then there's a player option. So you're not like it's. But you know, I guess you could flip that around and say that's the perfect time to trade him because a team is going to have him and some control, and maybe you're going to get a bigger package if you're going to go that way, and you're convinced that he ultimately wants to leave Cleveland, and it doesn't work, and so on. But I would be a little shocked, I think, if the Cavs moved off of Mitchell. Maybe a little more likely, Allen. But even then, I don't know if they'll do that. Do you have anyone else, a surprising player?
A surprising player, I would be very surprised if he got dealt, DeJounte Murray with the Atlanta Hawks, because they're just bad right now. 13-19, they're sitting outside of the play-in picture. And this is also a team that's gone for it. So you see what in Cleveland they gave out for Donovan Mitchell. Atlanta's the similar sort of package for DeJounte Murray in that they gave up multiple draft picks. They don't look good. And what I said earlier about buyers, sellers didn't really make sense. Actually, I go back. There's a lot of buyers, so maybe, like we just talked about with Donovan Mitchell, maybe the packages will be pretty large for this, I think, smaller amount of guys available, but the buyers will say, okay, all right, we got to do this. And maybe the Lakers say, all right, we're getting DeJounte Murray, because he would fit really damn well.
Yeah, DeJounte's been linked to the Lakers. He's sort of always linked to the Knicks, even though they made the OG move. The Warriors' names always come up with a player like him. The Jazz I've seen recently, that would be taking a different direction, you know, pairing him, I guess, with, you know, Keontae George and stuff like that. DeJounte Murray. What about Trae Young? Is that even more surprising?
That would be more surprising.
Definitely, if they decided that. Do you think the Hawks should move? Let's say not Trae Young, but Or maybe you want to, but one of the guys should move. Have you seen enough?
Yes.
That this does not
absolutely
gonna work.
I think DeJounte Murray was overrated coming to the Hawks,
right?
And I think that it's kind of played out the way a lot of people anticipated. Him and Trae Young just don't make each other better. Trae Young is better with the ball, so DeJounte Murray is not a great off-ball player. He's fine at it. He's shooting, I think, 38% from three, which is fine, but he's not a scary outside shooter, and his best looks are with the ball in his hand. Yeah. So I think it doesn't seem to make much sense. It hasn't improved the Hawks' defense the way people thought it would. They've gone the other way, which is kind of surprising. So I think the fact that he's 27 years old right now, in the middle of his prime, he's signed until 2028 after doing an extension with the Hawks. It still doesn't kick in until next season. It's probably better to trade him now than he plays another couple of years, and maybe that hurts his value even more so.
Yeah,
when the Spurs gave up their number one guy in DeJounte Murray, I was confused. This guy is obviously very good, a talented guy, but he also needs the ball in his hands. And so the Spurs wanted to play something different. And I understand Trae Young needs the ball in his hands, and it doesn't always work. But the weird thing is the defensive side. How bad they are defensively. Yeah. Because the offense is still working. He's got 20 points, 5 assists, 4.5 boards, shoots well from 3 at 38%. But maybe they're going to pull the plug. They gave John Collins away, essentially. The DeAndre
too late. Way too late.
Yeah, they could have got more if they went early.
Yeah, they should have.
DeAndre Hunter not working with a long-term deal. So it's just like, you know, brick by brick by brick, it's just – what are you building here? Mm-hmm. It ain't going well. Landry Fields took over the front office. Let's do this thing. Landry Fields and Kyle Korver, let's make it happen. Tear it up. And go to the Lakers. This deal works. Gabe Vincent, Torian Prince, former Hawk, Christian Wood, and 2029 first-round pick. I know,
not
all that sexy. It's not sexy.
I hope we could do better than that.
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know. I think when you tear it down, we're talking about tearing it down, it's all about picks.
You're tearing it down, less. You're getting rid of Trae Young. Trade Trae Young and get a real return and really start building your team around potential draft picks and Jalen Johnson and stuff like that. But that, because you're saying tear it down, you're just taking the top floor off with DeJounte Murray. Yeah. You're keeping the base. You're keeping the concrete.
I want that foundation. I want that Trey foundation. Trey is the foundation.
But I want to bring the Bobcat in and take the whole damn thing down.
You want to change the name to the Charlotte Bobcats?
No, no. I'm a tiny bit serious, though, that they should explore trading Trey. I am. I don't think it's going to happen this deadline, but I don't think you're that far from it. In terms, like, I don't know. It's proven to be difficult for them to build a team around him.
I don't know. I think fire the coach.
Okay, well, Jesus. They've done that before. Yeah. That works usually
for them.
Worked
once.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to talking about teams that should be buyers and sellers here, and we'll start with the buyers. A team that should be a buyer at the trade deadline is blank.
I feel like we talked about OKC too much, but I think they should trade for Markkanen. I'll just leave that there.
Okay.
I think they should do it. You saw the Celtics use Luke Kornet and Kristaps Porzingis effectively last night. They took away the driving lanes from the Thunder. I think Markkanen would be an awesome fit next to Chet. I think they would play similar styles to OKC already plays and that Utah already plays. Five out and everybody can drive. That would be an awesome fit, and they've got so many picks and players that they could easily do it.
Yeah, and I think I'm with you. I know that there's all this talk. Let them play once in the playoffs before you go get a superstar.
He's not a superstar.
Exactly. That's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing. I don't trade for a superstar. I totally agree. But a star that would fit in. Yeah. Lauri Markkanen is a star, and he can shoot from everywhere, and he can play defense. He's a damn good player. If Utah wants to do it. Because he's damn good.
Yeah,
so,
it's probably not a Utah move.
No.
Yeah, but make a trade. It's
okay,
fine.
But who else do you have? It sounds like you have
I think the Kings.
Else. Yeah.
I think they actually really need to make a move. They just seem a tier behind Denver, certainly, and then I think they're probably behind the Timberwolves and the Thunder. In the pecking order, the offense isn't what it was last year. Kevin Huerter got benched last night. Harrison Barnes has definitely taken a step back here. The defense has improved. I think they're like in the middle of the pack right now, 17th, rather than bottom five, which is good, but they just don't seem to have the catch you by surprise factor they had last year. And you know what you're getting, I feel like, with the Kings. So they could definitely be a team that could improve either at the Huerter spot or at the Barnes spot. I mean, they've got like Davion Mitchell. He's out of the rotation. I don't think he's that great of a player, but maybe somebody's interested. You toss in a pick as well, and then you're cooking.
Yeah. I mean, they've been linked to Lauri Markkanen. They've been linked to Pascal Siakam. They've been linked to
Levine,
at times
a little bit.
To Levine for sure. Yeah, he said he would gladly play in Sacramento. I think he was maybe told a reporter. Kyle Kuzma, there was like some talk of that back in the day too. The idea though, more like probably a bigger power forward, somebody to go alongside Sabonis. But they just don't have a lot of like super enticing assets to like, because like they're in the spot where they're a good team, like you said, but they're trying to get to a great team. They need another player, so you can't send out, like, obviously you're not getting rid of Sabonis or Fox. Teams are going to want Keegan Murray. I don't think they should do that. They probably want like a Malik Monk if in some sort of trade. Like, they're going to be like, the Kings are like, hey, here's Harrison Barnes, and people are going to be like, cool.
You tried to get me him last year.
Yeah, we don't want him, thanks. So I think they'll might struggle, though, to put together an enticing package to get a big name, some of the names that we're mentioning.
But I'm with you.
They should, if they can. They can fleece a team, do it.
Yeah, and you got to go big body. I think the most important thing is to have a tall guy. A tall, extremely talented guy to help out defense, to help out on the boards.
Well, what about Capella, then? I mean, it's like not a star name, but like, would he help a need for the Kings in terms of rebounding, a little defense, size? I think so. It's a little more attainable, too.
And attainable.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean
to cut you
off.
Is there another one? No. They definitely want to make a move because they've got and Mike Brown is just inserting, taking out guys from the rotation. Kevin Huerter, you're on the bench now. What? Kevin Huerter coming off the bench. You mentioned Davion Mitchell. He was hurt, so Keon Ellis was taking his minutes. Now he's sort of back, but Keon Ellis, I think, can play those minutes. And it goes on and on and on. Barnes also coming off the bench at times or not playing fourth quarter. So I think it is time. Why have this many guys when you know De'Aaron Fox is damn good? And you know Domantas Sabonis, when he doesn't have 10 turnovers, is damn good. So move it. I think so.
Do you have any other teams that should be buyers?
I think Dallas should be a buyer as well because they start Luka and Kyrie in the backcourt, and they got Dante Exum beside him. So those two guards, you know that your defense ain't going to be all that good.
No.
They've got a big man problem. They can't rebound at all that well with Grant Williams and Derek Lively in their front court. They're one of the teams allowing the most offensive rebounds in the game as well. And so they have to get big as well.
How about a Clint Capella? Can I interest you in a Clint Capella?
Who was also rumored to be going to the Dallas Mavericks last year, and then they went and drafted pretty damn well with Derek Lively. It ended up pretty well, but you got to get a little older and a little bigger to make Luka happy. I don't have a good name other than Clint Capella, because Clint Capella ain't all that sexy at his age.
Definitely not. All right, well, then final one. Let's flip this on its head. Who's a team that should be a seller at the trade deadline?
I think the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, that makes some sense.
Yeah.
Oh, Trey, you're agreeing. You gave him a little finger gun from Trey off camera there.
Yeah. Because there aren't that many horrible teams. And I think that helps this team jump in, because most have a hope that they can get into the play-in. Basically, all teams in the West, the Spurs are the only team that's bad. You know, they've been trying a lot of things. And then in the other conference, there's Charlotte, there's Washington, there's Detroit. But if you aren't one of those, this is time to sneak in and get some value for a vet, I do think. And the Blazers got a lot of those vets. Mm-hmm. When you start looking at them, Jeremy Grant, who signed his 5-year for $160 million deal, maybe it's time to cash in. Malcolm Brogdon at 31, he's 31 years old, not 31 million, $22 million this year and next year. What are we doing here? Just let Shaden and Scoot go.
In silence,
And let them play in silence. Is that what you said?
Silence.
Silence. I thought you said let them go in silence.
I'm with you. And you agree with the Blazers being a seller? They should
let them go in silence. Let them go. I think Brogdon's got – he's there to be traded. I think Jeremy Grant, it seemed like he was signed to the big contract because they were going to keep Damian Lillard around. In reality, it's probably a trade asset as well. So, I could see them definitely making a move, especially since you've seen a little – action from Scoot Henderson recently. So I think that's exciting for Blazers fans. I also think another team that's got to be in the mix is the Houston Rockets. Early season surprise, certainly. They've been a lot better than I thought they would, but they're probably the 11th best team of the 11 teams that are really contending in the Western Conference for these playoff spots. Teams like the Suns, the Warriors, Lakers. The Lakers are all going to be looking to beef up and pass them in the standings. So it might be smart here for the Rockets to have taken a step forward in their rebuild, bringing in a professional coach and just looking a lot better and looking more cohesive. Jeff Green could help a team that's he helped the Nuggets last year in the playoffs. Yeah. There's still 8 teams probably he hasn't played for, so I hope it's one of those. Jock Landale. Remember Jock Landale? You saw him with the Suns last year. He signed a huge contract. It's got zero guarantees on it. Maybe he helps somebody as a backup big off the bench. And then I'm kind of curious if they would explore trading Jalen Green pretty early in his career, but he hasn't established himself and he seems to have been passed in the pecking order by a few of these other recent draft picks from the Rockets, to the point where I'm I don't know how long he's going to be able to stay there and have a long-term role. So maybe trading him now is a good way to get some assets back.
I like Jalen. I'd keep him. He just
got benched, I think.
At times. But I think you make a good point about how deep they are. And I have real faith in that the top of their team is good. So why have all these guys? Why have all of them? Why have all of these guys that are really just chip-in players? I have faith in their team. Also, a note, we talk about all these big guys that are attainable. Why not go get a big guy? We mentioned Robert Williams for the Portland Trailblazers. That's another guy. It's attainable.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate he can't play.
He's out for the season.
Is it the season? Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I know he hasn't played in 2 months. That's a long time.
I don't think
he's supposed to come back for him.
next year.
Yeah.
Next year. He's signed for a couple more years. That's the weird thing about this Blazers team is that they have Ayton and they have Robert Williams. They have guys that probably aren't going to play forever.
I'll add one more team that should be a seller because they're shit, even though they won last night. The Hornets. Buzz City should be aggressively shopping everyone on their roster not named LaMelo Ball, Brandon Miller, or Mark Williams. I guess you could talk me into keeping PJ Washington and Cody Martin too. You know, they're both solid players. They're on affordable and controlled contracts. But even then, I think you're taking calls on those guys. Two main guys, Terry Rozier and Gordon Hayward. They should be moved for sort of any and all assets they can get. Especially like Scary Terry, man. I mean, we just said, you know, he had this awesome game against the Kings last night. He averaged 21 points per game last year. And he's up to like 24 points per game this year. Better percentages. He makes about $25 million a year. He's got 2 years left on his deal. He's not even 30 yet. Terry Rozier has some playoff experience. It's been a while, but played in like 9 or 10 series when he was with the Celtics back in the day. So he's got some reps. I think he could really help a team that's like either because of injury or just short on guard play. And I think he could be got from the Hornets and should be available. And then Hayward, look, he's fairly washed. He's only going to play half a season. That's sort of his thing. But he's in the final year of his four-year, $120 million contract. Oh, so it's a low risk, I think, sort of long-term. You know, you bring him in. He's a vet guy. He's always good for like a 25-5 game every 3 weeks. So you can see him helping in a playoff series in the right matchup. So I think either of those guys, the Hornets should be looking to move if you can get anything for them.
I think they're all available.
I think so too. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And Terry's
maybe
been
even
awesome.
Mark.
Oh no, maybe no, even maybe not. Mark's got a back problem right now. Let's let Mark get back in the game. All right, that's who we got there. Let's hear from everybody out there. Buyers and sellers at the trade deadline. Biggest names to be traded, both in terms of their status and their size. And what else did we ask? Oh, surprising players. We'll be talking a lot about trades, obviously, in the next couple of weeks.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, before we wrap this up, Tweet of the Night fun.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
We have two. It was that fun. First one, Celtics legends Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and coach Doc Rivers. They were chatting about a night when Matt Bonner was going off on them. KG was pissed, so let's have a listen.
Yeah, who got Bonner?
Oh,
man. We're there to stop Ginobili.
For sure, he was on the
road. The 2-4 pick and roll, the 3-4 pick and roll was the most famous because he popped, right? Yeah. I didn't have a rotator. We were trapping Ginobili. I got no rotator.
Red head with him.
That was the game plan, right?
It was. So we're at halftime and Bonner's rolling, right?
He was rolling. He never had 20 and a half this time. So, but Ginobili is under control.
Ginobili's the guy we're trying to control. I told Sam, I said, I'm going to talk about Bonner. It's going to piss Kevin off.
Who's gotten Bonner?
He lost his mind.
So I was like, okay, Bonner won't fuck. Then he was like, Kevin, we're here to stop Ginobili. It ain't about Bonner. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
We're here to stop Ginobili and beat the Spurs. God. Get out of your film.
Oh, I was going to say it, then Sam said, don't say that. He'll go nuts. Listen, we're going to have to send some help on Bonner.
Okay, Doc, that's what I'm saying. It was all good. I'm glad we could laugh about that, but yeah, we thought you'd be Bonner next time. Bonner, if you were any place hooping, I see you this shit. What you know?
So good.
Yeah, Kevin Garnett, very mad. I wonder, he said Bonner hadn't scored 20 and a half to that point. Did he have the stat sheet that Matt Bonner never had 20? I like that. I like the fact that he's that respectful of Matthew Bonner. And I like watching the highlights of Matt Bonner hit those little push floaters the lane. You don't see those too often. So shout out to Christian Winfield for sending that.
Such a good clip.
It's a good clip of those guys just basically. It's Doc talking about Sam. He's talking about his assistant coach was named Sam at that point, who wanted to just not piss off Kevin Garnett.
Well,
Doc
said,
"Come on, we got to guard Bonner," and Sam said, "Nah, don't do that."
What do you think is Matt Bonner's career high?
I was looking.
Oh, okay, fantastic. I guess
30 would be too high.
So
26er?
28. Got to 28. He did it against the Jazz in 2009, it looks like.
So how much did he score against the Celtics? This is a regular season game checked. That Kevin Garnett is mad about.
It's so funny.
He had a 23-point game against the Celtics.
That's what
it's got to be.
I think it's that one,
He had 16 points in the first half.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Only three threes.
How did Ginobili do? They kept him in check?
let me see.
That's my favorite part. It's like the game plan. We got to take care of Ginobili. Okay, Garnett's like, yeah, that's what we're doing. But, of course, kept running Bonner wide open.
Manu Ginobili had 19 points on 6 of 11 shooting. 3 assists to 4 turnovers, though.
Okay, great job.
So they're all over those passes.
Oh, they did pretty well.
Yeah.
Nice.
But, man, that's tough. Kevin Garnett's going to fight Matt Bonner the next time he sees him. because Doc Rivers said, leave him open. That sucks. It's like, well, I'm just doing my job. That's your fault. You should fight Doc Rivers.
And maybe he's talking about Sam Cassell.
It's possible.
Because he played
there.
08-09. It could be who he's talking about.
Yeah. The game plan, the defensive game plan.
Yeah.
Sort of a coach on the floor.
He was
at
the end of his career. That was the last season of his career. Second one here. The Clippers were partying, took a little glam shot, a photo of them chilling on New Year's Eve. This is everybody. You got Daniel Tice.
Well, it's not everybody.
Kawhi Leonard, Ivica Zubats, Mason Plumlee, Patrick Patterson is back, Norman Powell. Who's missing?
James Harden, Russell Westbrook.
Oh, those guys. Yeah. Well, you know.
Cisco in this photo. It's like Unleash the Dragon here.
Terrence Mann is in it. Unleash it.
Patrick Patterson was crazy to me. I haven't seen that guy forever.
Yeah,
where is he coming from? So I guess this was some sort of party for New Year's Eve. Pat got invited because everybody else is a Los Angeles Clipper. And Ivica Zubats put it on his Instagram story. Shout out to the Athletics Law Murray for letting us know. Zoo posted a whole vibe check on the gram, as Law said.
I always wonder about photos
like
this.
I like the lighting. It looks good to me.
It does look cool. I always wonder about these type of pics. Like, did Zoo go around and be like, all right, guys, we're doing a group photo. All right, we're doing a group photo. Come on over here. Like,
that's a photo.
So funny to me. It's like you got to wrangle them all together to take a photo. It's a lot of people.
How else are you going to do it?
I know.
So everybody takes a group of pictures. The question to me is, can they do a silly one?
Yeah.
You know, you get a group of photos, they're like, let's take a cool one. All right, now everybody make a funny face.
I guess so.
Yeah. Well, maybe Harden took the picture.
Yeah, maybe.
You guys get in, I'll take it.
And maybe Westbrook was holding a light or something.
Yeah, they probably need it backlit because cool of photo. The redness in there. Looks like the Weeknd's Super Bowl performance.
Yeah, they get trapped in there. Maybe Westbrook and Harden are trapped. They don't know where they're going.
Yeah, all right. Harden had a party to go to. Westbrook had a party to go to.
I'm sure they did.
Dueling parties, huh?
Westbrook maybe stayed at home.
Whew.
We don't know.
Yeah.
He's got a family. Harden. Harden, we know where he was.
Harden was out. Westbrook, yeah. I would guess, was maybe at home. Yeah. With the kids. All right. Great stuff. Two tweets for the price of one. Let's call it there. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Again, let's hear all of your answers when it came to fill in the blank, talking about the trade rumors and trade talk. Let us know in the YouTube comments. Hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. The drop this Friday. 5-star Friday. Get those reviews in and you might make the show. Unless TK's already got his 5.
No, certainly not.
Oh, there's an opening or two.
You have until Thursday night and maybe Friday morning.
Wow.
To get them in.
All right.
I don't know when they roll over. I can't tell.
Like
when they get approved, because that doesn't seem instantaneous to me.
Yeah, I'm not sure there. I'm not sure. But anyway, we appreciate everyone that's left us a 5-star rating or review. If you haven't, please do so. We'll be back here tomorrow, which is Thursday.
Yeah, that's right,
man. It's a weird week, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Though I will say I love the first being on Monday. I've talked about this before. I do like that.
It's cool.
One, two, three. You know, just move along.
Move along. There's a calendar. You know what's up.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So we'll see you tomorrow here at 10 a.m.
Monday is one day.
That's right. Tuesday is 2 day.
Nice.
Yeah, it works up until Wednesday. All right, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, it was fun watching the NBA last night because during the Grizzlies broadcast, come back from a commercial and they're showing two people that the broadcaster's got to talk about. It was Raptors guard Garrett Temple, the old vet sitting in the crowd because the Raptors play the Grizzlies tonight on Wednesday. It's going to be a fun night watching tonight. Garrett Temple, vice president of the NBPA for 7 years.
That guy can wear a suit.
It's almost 2 terms.
He looks good in a suit.
Yeah, he's really respected. People love him.
Yeah.
And the director said, let's go to him. Let's go to him. Let's shoot him. That's how much people love Garrett Temple, former Grizzly, obviously.
My New Year's resolution is to stay in better shape because my body is my Garrett Temple. Grace today, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.